If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call TIP today on 1-800-938-007.
Welcome back. It's time for Travel Tales with Fergal, and Fergal O'Keefe is with me in studio. Morning to you, Fergal.
Good morning.
Choking.
I just decided to take a little sip of water just before I went on.
It went with your breath. Yeah. You're going to talk to us, when you recover yourself there, you're going to talk to us a little bit about hiking, because of course you spoke about the Camino, and that brought all of your hiking experiences
exactly
to mind.
Yeah, so I have an article in the Nationalist this week, and my podcast, Travel Tales with Fergal, I have a special this week on the Camino. So I've been doing a lot of that editing that over the last few days. And that just got me thinking about hiking and all the hiking trips that I've done. And actually my last holiday, over the last few weeks, we've talked a lot about my most recent travel. Mm. But my last family holiday it seems like a long time ago now, but it was July 2019. And that was a hiking holiday in the Alps, Tour de Mont Blanc with my family. So that was my last family holiday.
Incredible, isn't it? You're only, and we'll chat about that in a moment. Yeah. You're always at pains to say, though, we just need to look around us to see some of the most incredible hiking opportunities.
Exactly. I always say that, like, every time I'm driving into Clonmel from any direction, and you look at the mountains around us, like, it's as good as anywhere in the world, and the walking up there is as good as anywhere in the world. And, you know, I've hiked all over the world, and every place I hike, there's always like a town, like whether it's Queenstown or Pokhara and places like that, that are always the base.
Yes.
I always say that, and I'm going to keep saying it, that Clonmel has got such potential to be the base, the walking base, with the mountains around it, you know.
Why aren't people listening to this? Because the opportunities are incredible, you know. I mean, are they listening
to you? I think that they are, as in, I noticed actually the other day that the government are doing some mountain biking centres now around the country.
Okay.
So the obvious one, the walking, there's no, you know, the cost for infrastructure is just trails and things like that, and signage is less. But I do think that it just needs people to keep pushing and pushing, because I've always taught this, that like Clonmel should be buzzing, you know, because all the places I went to, like if you go to Queenstown or Pokhara, and what it does is it creates a buzz in the town, because all the walkers, you get all your gear and you're getting ready and you're going out for food, etc. Or when you come back, if you've been walking for a few days up the mountain, you're getting a shave.
Of course, yeah.
And it creates a buzz around the
town. There's a particular enthusiasm about walkers, would you agree? There's something about them that's almost sort of, you know, hippie-ish to some degree. But I mean that in the fun sort of a way. Enjoying life.
That's a very good point, actually, because my article that I wrote for the Nationalist, I just finished it off there this morning, and that's my last paragraph. I was just saying, I was trying to think, like, you know, Davin says bon camino to you, like, have a good camino.
Yes, yeah.
But it's always with a smile, and they're all people are always open, and they're always willing to talk and share a story. So I think, the people, you know, when you're out in the outdoors and it's the endorphins, but it, you know, when you're surrounded by beauty, I do think it brings out the best in people.
The best in people. Now, you have more experience of this than most people I know. Tell me about some of your treks. Patagonia to Nepal, for God's sake.
So Patagonia to Nepal, you're right. And Patagonia actually was Torres del Paine, which would be one of the most famous walks around, you know, in the world. Like, it's an amazing spot. These mountains way down in the bottom of Patagonia. And it's sort of a 10-day hike there. And you can stay in huts, which, again, is something I've always said about the mountains. Like, you stay in huts and you walk in the mountains for a few days, and you start at Puerto Arenas. And even to get there, like, is an adventure. Like, you can't, there's no road. So essentially, I got a boat, and you go down through fjords from Puerto Natales. So for a few days, you're on this boat going through the fjords, which look like going through the fjords in Norway. And it was amazing, actually. I remember I played chess when I was young. I used to be a chess player. I remember being on the boat. They had this big life-size chess set.
Oh, right. Yes.
And just for a few days, playing chess on this thing, was surrounded by the fjords. Even
incredible.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
But then the actual walk is spectacular there. You know, really beautiful, and you really feel like you're at the end of the world.
My geography is terrible. What kind of distance are we talking about there for a walk?
So that distance, you're going to Port, like, Torres del Paine, you know, it's sort of a 10-day walk. Mm. And it's funny, you know what, I never actually think in distances. I couldn't even tell you how long that walk is. It's funny, it's the same sort of, I mentioned about Tour de Mont Blanc, and people, the first thing they always go, like, how far did you walk? And I think of it as in days. I go,
oh, right, okay.
So I walk this amount or this many hours for a day. And that's the way I always think about walking, because you could be walking 2Ks, but if it's 2Ks straight up or 2Ks flat, right, it's very different.
That's a very good point.
Do you know?
Yeah. Tell me about some more. I mean, Kilimanjaro for your honeymoon?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, exactly. And you know what's funny is not only did we decide to do Kilimanjaro, but you know, there's different routes. So there's one route they call like the tourist route where you can stay in huts. And we decided that'd be far too commercial, you know. We did the hard route where you had to camp. But it was gorgeous, I have to say, like really beautiful, because you're, you know, you're in Africa, and you know, before you go there, you're down in the plains, and great safaris there, but then you go up into the mountain, and yeah, it really is. It was tough going, though, I have to say now.
Was it indeed, yeah. Yeah. What was New Zealand like? Because you did that famous trail there,
yeah,
didn't you?
Yeah. So so we did the route burn. Mm. I did a number of trails, but the one I just picked out for today would be the route burn, which is a 6-day trail, and you go from Queenstown, and again, like Queenstown, it's that base, you know, where you can do so much activities from there, but it's really stunning. And that actually was one of the places that gave me, and gee, that was a long time, that was way back like 20 years ago, but I remember going at the time, like they're government run, the huts, so the huts are in the mountains, and when I say government run, like basically like there'll be just a caretaker there,
yes,
and then, you know, and then everything's brought in and out, the waste and all that, but then you like the routes are, you know, there's like wooden, you know, on the routes for walking, and you know, there's a camping area, but for, you know, eco-friendly very much, but they are government run huts, and you pay a minimum amount to stay there, so you're immersed, you stay up in the mountains. And again, the mountains there, you know, people know it now from Lord of the Rings, but they're very much like the Alps, you know, snow covered mountains, and really stunning, like absolutely beautiful there, I have to say.
And did you have any worry about dangers, though, because you were in Chile as well, were you?
Yeah, so Chile was the tourist del Paña, but you know what? When you're up the mountains, actually, you always feel very safe, because generally these places are national parks. So all those places, like I mentioned, so say the Root Burn in New Zealand, tourist del Paña, the Inca Trail in Peru, or the Annapurna Circuit in Nepal, they're all national parks. So you would always feel very safe. I mean, the Annapurna Circuit actually, you're going through villages and you're staying in towns.
Yes.
Each place, but you would always feel very safe, I have to say, when you're up the mountains, away from people.
Tell me more about the family holiday in the Alps, because your kids were very young.
They were. So I was waiting until, you know, as you can hear from those walks, like we did an awful lot of walking before we had kids. So then we had to have a little break. I was waiting for him to get old enough so we could go walking again. And I waited till Finn was 7, and then I said, yeah, he's old enough now. And when we did this, so we did the Tour de Mont Blanc, which is an amazing walk in Europe. So it goes from Chamonix in France into Courmayeur, or into Italy, then into Switzerland and back into France. And that's over, like normally, say for people, it would be like 12 days over 170Ks. But what we did is like 100Ks from Chamonix into Italy. So it's great because you're going from France into Italy. And because of that, you've got like the you know, different cuisines, the different culture, everything, you know, it's quite different. And when you go over the border, it's literally just a rock with like F on one side and I on the other side, and that's it. You know, there's no one on the border, and like,
wow,
that, because you're in the middle of the Alps.
And what sort of prep do you do for a trip like that?
So for that, you know, well, we're so lucky here to be surrounded by the Cumbers. So we used to just walk in the Cumbers, but my kids, they all play GAA and soccer and
so they're fit.
Rugby.
Fit
exactly.
Kids, yeah.
So most kids, if they do sport, they're fit enough. And if you do a bit of walking in the mountains around, say, the Cumbers, that is
enough.
But
in terms
training.
Of prepping the trip,
so there's a lot of work that goes into that.
Yeah.
As you'd guess from me doing this, I absolutely love that.
I love it, of course.
And a lot of people probably don't, but I really enjoy it. So there is an amazing website called AuTourDeMontBlanc.com. And if people look at, so if you were to go on this, and I would highly recommend it, I mean, particularly say next summer, who knows where we're going to be, but we'll assume that we're going to be allowed to travel again. So something like this would be really good because it's outdoors in Europe, for less people, you're outdoors. So I think walking holidays are going to be very popular with people. So from an organisation point of view, that website is amazing because you can literally go in, kind of decide how much you're going to walk each day, and then you put in your mileage, and then it'll tell you all the places to stay. So even though you're up in the mountains, there's loads of these, like the refuges they call them, or hostels up in the mountains. So every couple of k's there's a hostel to stay in. So you would have to book it beforehand because it is very popular in Europe, this walk.
Yes.
So you would have to, but you can do all that on that website.
And you can book family accommodation in these hostels.
Yeah. It actually works a treat. It worked a treat for us because there's six of us. So you can book so the rooms are sort of the big dorms, then there's like two bedroom dorms, but also six bed dorms.
Okay.
So we could just get our own six bed dorm with, you know, three bunk beds every night. So that was perfect. So we had our own room.
You know, after such a vigorous holiday, is there a place to unwind? Is there an option?
What I'd really recommend, what I did is I did a 1 week up in the mountains. We went from Chamonix to Courmayeur, and both are gorgeous. Like Chamonix is famous for its mountain climbing, it's buzzing during the summer. Courmayeur then is the Italian ski resort, but, you know, loads of people there in the summer, and they're very different but really beautiful. So you could do a week there, and then you could, my compromise say to the kids was we'd do a campsite then for a week, and we went to Lake Annecy, which is about an hour from Chamonix. And you can actually, even though it took 6 days to walk, it then there's a tunnel right through Tour de Mont Blanc, so it takes like a half an hour in the tunnel, go from Courmayeur back to Chamonix. So we left all our bags, our big bags, back in the hotel in Chamonix. So we went back and then got a taxi to Lake Annecy, and that's like 44k circumference with loads of little towns on it, French, in the middle of the Alps. So even if you weren't into walking, you could just go to Lake Annecy, one of those villages there, and do day walks. And there's paragliding and, you know, sailing, and there's like man-made beaches on the lake, and spectacular.
Sounds gorgeous indeed. Tell me about Travel Tales with Fergal. As you say, the Camino one, that's this
week.
So
the Camino one is tomorrow. That's a very special one. So that'll be all about the Camino. And I've interviewed loads of different people, people on the walk, and different people about that. And I wasn't here last week, so I had a special one last week with Carol Spain, who is a comedian.
Sure.
He's probably been on here before.
Yes, indeed.
And we have in Bakers in Clonmel, there's a Christmas special next week, actually, on the 9th of December. So he's going to be at that. So that he talks all about, and he talks about travelling all over the world for comedy gigs.
Yeah.
You know, so that was great, and great stories.
It's great. He's a great character as well. Rather difficult one in terms of your chat with Lindsay Bennett, I would imagine.
Yeah. So that one is another podcast I do called Moments of Clarity. Mm. So you can look that up. It's on all podcasting platforms. So basically the idea of this podcast is you ask three people for moments in their life, three moments that led to a change.
Yes.
You can imagine Lindsay Bennett, who is one of the cervical cancer people that, you know, was misdiagnosed.
Yes.
And I interviewed her. So yeah, it was amazing actually, because she's an amazing person.
Like, right. She's a terminal diagnosis.
Yes, terminal diagnosis. And she's not taking, I actually interviewed her, so that's out now, but I interviewed her on the same day that Vicky was on the Late Show that night. And Lindsay had already decided not to do chemo, and Vicky, you know, announced that as well on the Late Show that night, because it was taking so much. Double chemo they were doing. It was taking so much out of them. So they've kind of gone for, as they say, quality rather than quantity with time. But what I got it from Lindsay was, she's so bubbly and outgoing and positive.
Yes,
you know, her name on Instagram is Cancer with Gratitude, and so she's full of gratitude. Like I was saying, the last thing she said to me, you know, I was saying to her, you know, she's just so full of, I said, she's like a glass half full person, you know. And she said, you know, it's not even half full or half empty, it's actually just having a glass, and that's her attitude.
Oh my God. We could learn so much from people like Lindsay. Thanks very much indeed for that, Fergal, and the Camino special is Travel Tales with Fergal this week. That's it for me. Emma produced. Stephen is on the way with the Time Tunnel. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.